Bronx finest, and that is the best of I'm Awake Native Roots Radio.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM Minneapolis St. Paul, online and archived at kfai.org, the community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, Hidney Cup, baby.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're exactly right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are on at 5 p.m. now, and we're grooving on this, just a little different, but we're really happy to be on and happy people are listening, and we really have a jam-packed show tonight. We have the Lieutenant Governor who's sends us a nice little piece weekly, or bi-weekly, I should say, and then we have Dr. Stately. One of the things I want to talk about real quick before we get to the Lieutenant Governor, she was a keynote speaker today at the National Congress of American Indians, which was held at Mystic Lake, the casino out there, and that's all week, the National Congress of American Indians. I also got to see a couple other speakers, like Secretary Deb Holland was there. We also had a guest of ours, too. The lawyer for Leonard Peltier spoke and spoke very eloquently about us supporting Leonard's release and how much power we have as nations across Turtle Island. And it was good that he came and spoke to all these leaders across Turtle Island. So this is going on, Haley, all week at Mystic Lake, and I'll be heading back there after the show to drop in and check out the market. They have a big market there, and it's pretty exciting.
How late is that open till today?
The market's open till 9, so they have a big market there, and a lot of vendors there, so I'll be swinging by there again and supporting and asking a lot of questions from these. It's not only sales, but there's people that, whether it's like the Indian governance is there and has a booth. There's quite a few groups across Turtle Island. Plus, there's swag and, you know, beading and things like that being sold, and I saw a lot of silver too, and turquoise, which is our relatives of the south that do that. So it'll be very cool, and very cool to head back. But what I want to do, Haley, right now is I want to touch base here and play the segment that the Lieutenant Governor sends us every 2 weeks. Go ahead and play it.
Bonjour, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. What an incredible end to one of the most productive legislative sessions of our lifetime. The work we did together this session will make a generational impact on our state, lowering costs, improving lives, and cutting child poverty. None of these victories would be possible without the deep partnership across community, across the legislature, and across our state. So thank you to everyone from community who showed up to help get this done. There's so much good stuff in this budget, including things that I've worked on my entire career, and I'm so proud to share a few highlights of the One Minnesota budget. I'm thrilled that projects like that are deeply embedded in community are included in this package, like Onda Young, which we visited this spring and saw firsthand the need for investment and renovation, Division of Indian Work, the Indigenous Peoples Task Force, New Native Theater, Little Earth Residents Association, Little Earth Neighborhood Early Learning Center, Indian Health Board, Lower Phelan Creek, the Wakantipi Center, Native American Community Clinic, Red Lake Tribal College, the Minnesota Fund, and the Leech Lake Wellness Center in Cass Lake. And all of these have been led by and for the urban Native community, as well as tribal nations and members. It is an incredible accomplishment, and I am so grateful to everyone who worked so hard to get this done. The higher education omnibus helps to create more pathways for Minnesota students to attend college or workforce training. This includes the American Indian Scholar Program, which covers tuition and fees for American Indian students residing in Minnesota and enrolled members of Minnesota Tribal Nations seeking an undergraduate degree at one of Minnesota's 2- and 4-year public colleges and universities. I can hardly believe it. This package also increases funding for the Tribal College Supplemental Grant Program and establishes the North Star Promise Program, which provides free undergraduate tuition at public 2- and 4-year colleges and universities for Minnesota residents and families with a household income of $80,000 or less. The Public Safety Omnibus invests in a spectrum of public safety solutions to help keep everyone safe in their community. These historic gun safety and violent crime prevention measures include implementing universal background checks to close the loophole for private transfers of semi-automatic weapons and handguns, and extreme risk protection orders. It expands the Office of Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives with new full-time staff positions and funding for the Advisory Council, establishing a reward fund for information on missing and murdered Indigenous relatives as well. It provides funding for tribal nations to hire their own tribal assistant probation officer staff to work in tandem with the Department of Corrections and county supervision agencies through an MOU, and invests in community-based crime prevention, juvenile justice, and the Minnesota Department of Human Rights. And one of the most meaningful items in this budget package is ensuring that people who are incarcerated have access to free phone calls with family and friends. The housing omnibus is also historic. It's a historic $1 billion investment, billion with a B, the largest single investment in housing in state history that addresses the entire spectrum of housing stability, from our relatives experiencing homelessness to renters to first-time homebuyers. We also passed $240 million to replace lead pipes across the state because everyone deserves safe, clean drinking water. But right now, over 100,000 pipes are leaching lead into our drinking water, presenting the greatest risk to children and to pregnant people, and disproportionately harming marginalized communities across the state. So we're going to get this done, and we're going to make sure that people have clean, safe drinking water. And while the 2023 legislative session may be over, Governor Walz and I are committed to continuing to work in partnership with the legislature, leaders in community, and people all across the state to make sure that Minnesota is the best state for all children and families to thrive. Miigwech, Pinagigi, and back to you.
Wow, Pinagigi, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. And wow, what a great report that we have every couple of weeks from the Lieutenant Governor Haley. And wow, we're just blessed to have that report and just a reminder of all the great things that our trifecta here in Minnesota has done for our Native community, which has never really happened before, really. And how the Native community, Haley, worked together as right. a tandem about, you know, bringing these bills up. And it was really powerful to see the cooperation mm-hmm. between all these great community organizations.
Right. And so Peggy was talking a lot about like the urban Native community, and heard her shout out New Native Theater.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, NAC, Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis, one of our amazing sponsors as well, just doing really great work. And I think that's huge for the state of Minnesota. Free undergrad tuition for 2 to 4 year public college. That's
for Native kids. Yeah.
For Natives. That's huge.
That is amazing. It's a game changer too. And that's why for me, before me, Haley, I'm really working on with my other job to get Ho-Chunk recognized in Minnesota. And I think it's long overdue, and we're one of the original treaty signers in 1855. So we're excited about the possibilities of that. But, you know, one thing she said today that I just want to end this segment with, and we again, we'll have Dr. Stately up next. She said, when Native communities are healthy and prosperous, the whole communities are. And I really, truly have never heard that said, but I do believe that. I do believe that. And she gave a great example about the COVID vaccines that were directed to the Native Americans. And when they had enough, they gave it to the community. So that's how we roll. And we're here, and it's the medicine wheel all over again. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Up next, Dr. Stately. Ho-wah.
Stay with us.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues, Haley, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, we'll have Robert Lilligren on today, and a Wendy, and Wendy's flying home tonight. I guess she's able to fly home through this all this pollution and stuff. So
yeah.
I'll be excited to see her again. And you know, Haley, while we're waiting for Robert to get on, as you all know out there, we're on a different time here, and so it's hard maybe to get acclimated to this. And I know I talked to Robert today, and it'll be fun to talk to him today. But we got some updates, too, of what's going on around Turtle Island. And that would be you, Haley. Talk a little bit about the powwow and
the Turtle Island powwow.
Well, yes. The Two-Spirit powwow that's coming up that
we were yesterday.
Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we got our Two-Spirit powwow. So that's going to be New Native Theaters presenting this. This is going to be their second annual Reclaiming Our Identities Two-Spirit powwow. And that's going to be happening June 24th at South High School in Minneapolis. And that's 3131 19th Avenue is where that's at in Minneapolis. That's going to be starting from 10 a.m. and that's going to go to 8 p.m. So they're going to be out there all day. There's going to be dances, drums, of course, and a bunch of vendors and really good time. Yeah. So if you're in the area, definitely get out there and check that out.
Yeah, and we always want to remind our allies out there that have maybe never been to a powwow, you are always welcome. Just be respectful. And we've talked about this before with pictures and things like that. I always ask if you can take pictures. But also, you know, powwows are for everyone, you know. It's come celebrate our culture and watch these beautiful dancers and singers and just get acclimated with the Native American community in your community.
Yeah, it's a great way to meet people and meet leaders, you know, or just meet artists and Indigenous artists that you can support as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just talked to Robert, and he's on his way. Robert is the Native American Community Development Institute CEO. And man, I was over at the Four Sisters today, and they just got it going. They just got it going on over there, and great weather, and the people that work with Robert are just totally professional. He's got such a great crew there.
Did you see Destiny again? Our Ho-Chunk sister?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We saw Destiny. Yep. And matter of fact, Destiny is, she runs the Four Sisters market.
Yeah.
So that's her job. Yeah, I see her. And there was a, she was handing out tickets and getting people signed up for the drawing. So it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. They had their raffle going on today too as well. And that's every Thursday, right? That they have
Every Thursday. Every Thursday from 11 to 2, which is a good time if you want to get out for lunch or have a destination for lunch. That's on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Have about 12 vendors there where they're, I know Dream of Wild Health is there, and they're bringing in and their own basic food that they've grown and are selling it. So, you know, whether it's vegetables and well, not so much fruit yet, but there's definitely vegetables. And I saw a couple other vendors that we work with. And speaking of vendors too, I just want to let everybody and remind everyone, you know, Native Roots Trading Post is out at Target Field and in center field. And just if you go to the Twins game, just go out by entrance or exit 34, which is Kirby Puckett's old number. That's kind of in right center field. And we're in the creative corner where we're with two other BIPOC businesses in there. And we got wild rice. We got some earrings. We got the Heck painting there. The first one sold for over $1,000, and now we have another one there. And we have, if you can't afford the original painting, you can definitely, we have posters there of the painting. And just to describe that, Haley, it's kind of the right field, kind of a dreamy look, kind of pinkish, reddish look of the ground level right field. And there's a warrior on the horse. And then there's also Jim Thorpe, kind of a ghostly character over on the right side of the painting. And then you have Hall of Famer Chief Bender, who's from up north and an enrolled member. And I always say Red Lake, but it's not Red Lake. I got to look that up real quick. And so they're overseeing it, and they're one's pitching, one's hitting, and it's a beautiful, beautiful painting. And if you have a chance to, if you go to the Twins game and have a chance to go to the creative corner in right center field by entrance or exit 34, you'll be able to see our little show, little I don't know, it's not a pop out, but it's a little store there, you know. So
yeah,
so that's exciting. Hey, I see Robert, and, you know, Robert, I'm just babbling like a fool here. nothing new.
So, but as usual, Robert, is that what you're saying?
It's that's right. It's just, hey, there's grass growing over here. It's very sacred, and you know, just telling stories. Well, we were just talking about the Four Sisters market today, and how cool it was, and
kind of a happening scene, wasn't it? It
was and it always is. And I really feel like it's a place to go and see people. Like Representative DeLong was there, and
Ho-Chunk Representative DeLong, Ho-Chunk Representative Robert Pilot,
and Representative DeLong ran into a friend of her daughter's who she hasn't seen in a long time. That's Ho-Chunk. That moved to Minneapolis and did not know she was there. So it was like not a reunion, but it was a great surprise. Well, and
yeah, kind of a reunion. And yeah, there was just a lot of cool leadership there, a lot from the community, a lot of cute community people. It's just such a good place to be. So It goes Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. through October 26th, right at our little building there where Powwow Grounds is. And yeah, stop on down. It's happening soon.
Well, and what I was saying too is like you just never know who's going to be there. You run into somebody like Daniel, ran into someone you hadn't seen in a few years that's moving back to the city and wanted to hang out with some other urban Indians.
Yep. No, it's a happening spot. It's a place to be, and I love it. And it, so I'd really encourage people to stop down. You know, they can run to Powwow Grounds if they want. Bob Rice, who the proprietor at Powwow Grounds, is always selling fry bread tacos, fry bread pizzas. He was packed today. I don't know if you went inside.
I went in early to get a taco, fry bread taco. So Danielle and I were talking business, and that's when she ran into her young friend, Ho-Chunk friend.
Nice.
We got a minute left here in the segment. We'll let you settle in a little bit. And then we got two more big segments with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO. And you got a well-oiled machine there. And we're going to come right back, Robert. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
The cat liked it. Oh.
When it comes to mental health, connecting with others can be a way forward. Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connection as a comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug. Together, we can find ways to create a path forward. For more information, visit mentalhealth.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with, I almost said Dr. Robert Lilligren.
Losing
my mind here. We're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, which we like to call NACD. How did I do, Robert? Yeah, one in a row.
Excellent.
One in a row.
I was improving.
Cool. And we're just talking over what was happening at the Four Sisters here. I want to just shift gears with you, Robert. And the Republican Party is starting to amass many people running. We have Wendy and I talked about it because she's a former New Yorker. And we got the New Jersey governor, and we have Pence the next day showing up. And the only one that really seemed to talk real was the New Jersey former governor, and he, was in Trump's cabinet in the beginning and really didn't say anything. So I don't know how to take any of that, but at least one person's outing him a little bit.
More are. You're seeing DeSantis from Florida starting to be highly critical. Actually, all of his opponents now that it's a real race. And I think that's good, you know, in general for democracy, because ex-President Trump has a record, right? And you can comment on that. He has a pulpit, and you can comment on that. And I'm loving all this. I saw even some fairly obscure, I think the Montana governor, was it?
Yeah.
And folks are jumping in the race. And it almost, to me, it feels like a strategy to kind of dilute the sort of power of Trump, you know. So I think that's kind of a good thing. And who knows where this will end up. Trump is in jail. I think it's going to be very hard for him to run for president. And so being in second place is really a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, I would think so, too. The pundits are saying weird stuff like, oh, now he's got, like he did originally, all these other candidates that he can demoralize, talk down to, and really, you know, go after one or go after them all. I'm still in shock, Robert, because I kept on telling Wendy, oh, he's not going to win another he's not going to win another primary, and boom, he won again. Right. And I was just like, oh my God, what's going on right here?
Well, and even the first time around, you know, it was very shocking that he won. And, you know, for me, a minor conspiracy theorist, but you have to acknowledge that he actually won with foreign interference.
Yes. Right?
So if there was an illegitimate election in the last decade, that was the illegitimate one. And so I was shocked on election night. And what was it, 2016? It seems so long ago.
Right.
But with the result. And in retrospect, it wasn't really an authentic and legitimate win. But it really disrupted our democracy. And I think that was the point, mm-hmm. that he was in to disrupt democracy. Many of Putin and Russians' most vocal sort of opponents have had their democracies interrupted. England with Brexit.
Oh,
if you're looking for sort of a world domination strategy, it's been an incredible one out of Russia.
Wow. You're right. And I think about, you know, because we're a little older, Robert, I think about Reagan getting a deal mm-hmm. with the Iranians and kind of throwing off Jimmy Carter. And they had it supposedly all set up, Carter's administration, to get the 52 hostages out of Iran, right. And Reagan stopped it in the back rooms. I mean, these are both two things that are basically treason. You're talking to Iran, you're talking to right. Russia. I mean, basically.
Yeah. Right. And that's a strong word, right? Treason is an ugly word. And if there is treason in the environment or in the ecosystem, then we need to call it that and pursue that. And I have felt since January 6th that we've been on a slow roll towards treason and charges of treason in a number of areas, and that's a really severe crime in this country. And but if it's treason, it's treason, and we should prosecute it as such.
Well, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon with the bombing of Cambodia, right. all these deals that are going on in the background that are and Reagan and I mean Trump dealing with the Russians, and of course January 6th. I just don't think the press does that, but I mean, if you're in the military and do anything close to that, you are in prison for a long time without even a blink of thinking about, should we convict this person?
Right. I agree. And even back when, I mean, it was so shocking to watch that on TV on January 6th, right? We had never seen anything like that. Certainly not on TV. And you know, people were like, why aren't they arresting them, prosecuting them? And it's like these wheels of justice kind of roll slowly. And I don't think, you know, the Department of Justice or anyone is going to rush into sort of treasonous charges. And so I've respected kind of the time that's been taken and that these cases are airtight by the time they get into court. These folks are going to jail, as they should.
Well, and Robert,
they're hiding so well. It amazes me how well they're hiding.
Well, Robert, too, we got over 1,000 convictions of people that were doing selfies. There was just somebody that came out. I just heard this guy that was an actor that was in a bunch of movies that was there in the insurrection, that were, you know, insurrection. And I mean, they're arresting these people, but the head rabble rousers are still laughing it off.
Some aren't. Some are going to jail, and that's good to see. And I just read this thing today that one of my favorite slow motion train wrecks that I can't look away from is Congressman Santos in New York. And, you know, this hideous liar is, you know, pathological. It's just it's just incredible. But his lead attorney in all these, he's facing like 13 felony charges right now. Or 13 federal charges, and his lead attorney was inside Capitol grounds on January 6th. And
oh, my God.
It's like, yuck. It's like how enmeshed all of this corruption is and how gullible some voters can be that they continue to support this. And of course, Santos is running for re-election, which blows my mind completely, but and defending his, you know, position. But yeah, that just came out, I think, today. And it's these online sleuths who are finding the identity of these people.
That's right. And even back to the Tiki boys, do you remember with a Tiki, they had their little tiki fires, and that was after.
Oh, right, the tiki torches.
But those people, like, were outed because they were all on camera and doing selfies too, and losing their jobs. You know, just the little Nazis running around with tiki torches,
right.
And
I mean, self-described Nazis, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like we're hurling insults at them or anything, and they were proud of it. And people died at that demonstration, you know, or someone, mm-hmm. you know. But that whole tiki torch thing was so goofy. And so we'll see, you know, the impacts of social media on democracy. It's kind of profound. And we'll kind of see what wins, or at least in the next sort of generation of elections and things. But for me, I feel like the more exposed all of this icky, underbelly, dark side stuff is, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was more active in politics, we'd always say, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just bring some sunlight into this, you know.
I was in total denial, and I guess I don't want to talk too much more about this, but I was just thinking, Robert, that I was seeing posts of caravans going to Washington, D.C. on the 5th and the 4th, and I'm going, oh, they're not going to have that many people down there. And oh, my God, they had a bunch.
Right. Right, but really, I mean, it was a bunch, and it's shocking, and it was just enough to disrupt and distract, right? It wasn't enough to accomplish their mission, which was to decertify the election and or at least disrupt the business of Congress long enough that certain states could go into turmoil. And, you know, they failed. They completely failed on that. It wasn't enough people, and that's a good thing. But it's also hard to see this sense that we're careening towards some sort of civil disruption, civil war, war of political ideologies that's so geographically dispersed. But it's not numerically dispersed, right? We know where the majority of Americans are. We know what they're thinking. You know, I love the statistic that when Vice President Kamala Harris votes in Congress or in the Senate, you know, she breaks ties as a president of the Senate. She is voting for something like 60 million more Americans than a Republican would be. And so, you know, elections are a numbers game. Democracy is very much based on those numbers. And so it means people have to get their butts into voting booths.
Right.
Make sure who's making the decisions here.
Absolutely. And stay informed, too, I think. You know, we're kind of political junkies, Robert, you and I, but I don't think a lot of people know the things that are going on and how far history is being turned into a bad horror story. So, hey, I'm here with Robert Liljegren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, and we're just having a conversation. We probably should switch the subject there because we were a little downer there on that, but you know,
maybe we could talk about pride or something. Pride, it's Pride Month.
Let's do it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, they are. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren and the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and then the corridor of Franklin Avenue. And Robert, there's people from all over the country here for out in Shakopee, and people were rolling into the powwow grounds that were at the gathering, and they were just really impressed with what's happening here and how we have a corridor and that we have people coming in, natives, and the four season thing. And you've seen this grow over the years. You must be really proud about people coming in and just being really amazed by what work is being done.
You know, it's so cool. And so you're talking about the NCAI, right? The National Congress of American Indian Conference. And there were a ton of people that came down to Four Sisters, went to Powwow Grounds, the coffee shop. A lot went through the gallery with the incredible exhibit we have going on there. We had some youth groups that came out to tour the gallery specifically. I think we had three or four gallery tours today, which was just super cool. And it is. I mean, and I thank you for saying that, Robert. And, you know, we have this American Indian Cultural Corridor, very identifiable American Indian geography here within the city of Minneapolis. It's really important to our Native community. And I really love the work that NACD's done in taking a people and community capacity approach to building up the American Indian Cultural Corridor, rather than just building a bunch of buildings, right? And saying, okay, here, this is the cultural corridor. Instead, we're claiming it from the ground up. And and there's been so many high water marks, especially in the last few years, around our progress. And I felt today was one of them. I got to tell you the coolest story. Mm-hmm. So we had these Southwest relatives from Albuquerque, New Mexico, who toured the gallery today. And they are from an organization kind of like NACTI, but in Albuquerque. And two of their group needed to be on their board meeting at a certain time. And so they asked if they could use our conference room. And you know how tight our office space is. We're like, sure, we're good relatives. Come on in. And so throughout the part of the afternoon, these two folks were sitting in their board meeting, you know, online and stuff. And I just thought, this is so cool. This is, you know, this is it. This is it working.
Yeah, exactly. And I really, you know, we talk a little bit about this, but, you know, people talk about the res and all that. I'm really proud to be in this community of urban Indians. And we talk, Danielle and I were kind of talking about that. It's so unique here in the Twin Cities. Things have happened either because or, you know, we were talking about American Indian movement, or did it start because there was a lot of urban Indians that could start it? You know, it's just a good place to be, and we know people in the community. And I don't know, I always have a good time Thursday. It reminds me of a lot of good thing that's happened here.
I'm so glad. It's always good to see you. You know, there's always that urban reservation dynamic, and that's just part of life in the Indian community, right? And you know, my vision and approach has always been, working together, we're stronger to serve our people from our nations, but also our people more broadly. And as you know, in this urban community, we have dozens, scores of different nations represented in the population. And so how do we balance that? And I think we've made really good progress in the last years, but places like the Four Sisters Farmers Market are places where we come together and have those conversations.
Right. Exactly. And the Indian Center is being worked on, and that's always.
Oh, doesn't it look great?
It's moving pretty quick.
yeah. It'll be, the big goal is to open it on May 1st, which is American Indian Kickoff Month in Minnesota and Minneapolis. So May 1st, 2024.
Wow, that's exciting. So, hey, before you jumped on, Haley and I were talking about the powwow that's coming up by the new Native Theater, Two-Spirit powwow.
Yeah.
But also, you mentioned before the break, too, how we're celebrating this month.
Right. So you're talking about the Two-Spirit powwow on June 24th, right? Mm-hmm. 12 to 7 p.m. at South High here in Minneapolis. It's just thrilling. I just responded to the Facebook invitation a little earlier today. But just overall, you know, kind of the Two-Spirit awareness, the reclaiming of Two-Spirit people and mm-hmm. sort of replacing Two-Spirit people's position in our cultures after the interruption of colonization. And it's just been so rewarding to see as a Two-Spirit person. And then I don't know if you can see this behind me, but this the photo is the
bridge.
Replacement 35W bridge, right? Lit for Pride the first time. And that happened while I was on city council, and the bridge collapsed while I was on Minneapolis City Council, and we replaced it. And I knew these lights were an amenity, but and I had a friend that lived close by there, and he said, "Hey, can those be lit for Pride colors?" And so I asked, and the answer was yes, they can. But the answer I got from the then Republican Governor Pawlenty administration was they would never approve that. Elections happen. Mark Dayton was elected our governor, and we approached him again. We crafted a policy for local communities to request these lights to be lit, and this was the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was one of my things. I said, if we're going to work on this, I want to do the first. And so my city council office worked on the light configuration, the pier coloring, the timing of it and stuff. So my point being, you know, this is just a representation of how elections matter and mm-hmm. a place at the table matters. And so whether it's Native issues, Two-Spirit issues, you know, it's just becoming clear to me in my elder years, just getting to that table matters.
Yeah, no doubt. And you just jarred my memory on how much of a supporter Dayton was to mm-hmm. Native Americans.
All right.
Former governor.
Right. So, yeah, Mark Dayton, and he sort of kicked off this era of Democratic governors here. And we were parts of groups, you know, and at the time we didn't think he was being as responsive as he could be. Remember, he was a big hunter's rights guy. Right. For one thing, he was kind of supportive of pipeline projects. And mm-hmm. But at least we had the access to get to the table to remonstrate with them, say, we're not agreeing with you. And I think it really set the table for the Waltz Flanagan administration here, which, of course, has our first ever Native Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, my wider sister, and the highest ranking executive in government in the country.
You know, talking to people, well, even just in Wisconsin, but all across Turtle Island, the governor of Minnesota spoke today in Shakopee, and I was not there. I did not know he was going to speak, but I had a few things I had to take care of and, of course, come to the market. He got a standing ovation, and great. I got texts, people saying, "You are lucky to have this governor." And that blew my mind, too.
Oh, I think we're super lucky, and I think he's being really smart and strategic, right? He's showing what unified democratic government can do in a state. And we're seeing these states kind of crashing and burning with this total Republican control. So now here's a different example, right? We can lift this up. We can show people in the 2024 presidential elections, this is what people-centered government can accomplish. And they really accomplished amazing things.
I know. I mean,
just amazing.
It was mentioned not everything passed, and maybe it was you that said that last week, but a majority of things did, and that's the thing we need to hang our hat on, you know, is the things that passed.
A lot of good things passed. I mean, when especially we were talking about capital projects with the Native mm-hmm. community, and so we didn't get everything, but for me, that's, you know, the sort of governance, government, politics. It's not this vote. It's not this session. I mean, it is in some ways, but it's making sure that we're strategically setting ourselves up for the next vote, for the next session. And that means giving a little sometimes, and that doesn't mm-hmm. always feel good. But I'm a long game player. I'm a strategic guy when it comes to government and to legislation.
Well, and you remember, too, the missing and murdered indigenous relatives did not pass the first time. It was an ominous bill.
I don't think it passed the first or the second, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it passed.
And it passed on both sides supporting it.
Right.
So that, right. So that has to happen.
And so that's how you build power, right? So it's not instantaneous. It wasn't instantaneous to cause all the damage that government could cause, and so it's not going to be instantaneous to heal it, but it can be healed.
Cool. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Wendy's coming home tonight, even though New York is totally covered with soot and smoke and all from the Canada. I guess the planes are flying more on time, but she always likes me to say, ask Robert what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to give you the platform here for the next 2 minutes. And
you know, we got so much through so much, but I will bring up another thing about the importance of representation, the importance of being at the table. And just over the last few days, I got recommended and then invited to be part of a panel called the 22nd Century, I think it's called. It's a conference coming up here in Minneapolis. And they wanted to talk about some of the stuff that we've done here to advance the Native communities' causes. And one of the things they want to focus on is the Memo of Understanding and the MOU with the City of Minneapolis and MUD leadership, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Leadership. And it's this groundbreaking document that's been updated and refreshed over the years that frames and describes how the local Native community organizational leadership, at least, wants to be engaged by the City of Minneapolis. And it is groundbreaking. It was an initiative of my first term on the Minneapolis City Council, generated from the community, from the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. But it's just another really good example of what we could do when we had a place at the table.
Yeah. Wow. And all the great work and that you've done. I appreciate you, Robert. Appreciate you being on the show, really, and speaking these good words about our community and what's going on. And just our little chats, too, about what's happening nationally. I really enjoy it.
Into.
All right. Hey, that was Robert Lilligren. Up next, Wendy talking about Fun Facts Thursday now. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Thanks again, Robert. We'll be back.
Why underwrite with KFAI? Underwriting announcements provide 20 to 30 seconds for you to increase awareness of your business and reach KFAI's loyal and dedicated listenership. If you're interested in underwriting with KFAI, go to kfai.org/underwriting.
They're calling me. KFAI is proud to present Michelle and DJ Ocello at the Dakota, performing 4 shows over 2 nights, June 13th and 14th. Acclaimed Grammy-winning multi-instrumentalist, singer and songwriter Michelle and DJ Ocello makes her Blue Note Records debut with the Omnicord Real Book, a visionary, expansive, and deeply jazz-influenced album that marks the start of a new chapter in her trailblazing career. Tickets for Michelle and DJ Ocello can be found at the Dakota website. Visit dakotacooks.com for more details.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Is a cat just howled? Hey, we're here with our sacred animal portion of the show, which we've been doing for 7 years, and Wendy's been leading the way talking about our relatives with ears, hooves, tails, fins, and we're always excited. We've asked Wendy to come on tonight. She's coming home, big pollution in New York, and she's going to be able to come home to Minnesota, and we're really happy about that. We've asked her to come on and do a pre-record here for our sacred animal section and kind of jump into a fun fact pre-Friday.
Yes, exactly, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And yes, we will have a pretty Thursday, fun fact Thursday today. I'm reading from the hashtag fact site, Science, Nature, and Animals. We have 300 random animal facts by Luke Ward, and I started this quite a few weeks ago. And we're starting from number 300, and we're working our way up to number one. But here's another one, Robert. You're going to be shocked about this. You too, Haley. Blue whales have large enough aortas, the main blood vessel, for a human to crawl through.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, and blue whales happen to be the largest animal in the world.
Not just mammal, but animal, right?
Animal, yeah, wow. That's right. I think maybe it is a mammal, but yeah, mammal. The largest mammal in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, a blue whale, yep. Giraffe heart pump twice as hard as a cow's to get blood to its brain. I would imagine that, right? Because they have that long, long neck. So their heart really has to pump that blood up to their brain. Wow, I never even thought about that.
That is crazy. That's a long way. It's a story up.
I know. Yeah. Penguins can jump 6 feet out of the water. Swimming around, what? They can jump 6 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
They can dance too, I hear. No, that's a movie. Never mind.
The Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. That's right. I love that cute little movie. That's from quite a few years ago, but I remember watching that movie. Bumblebees have hair on their eyes. Wow. That must be pretty uncomfortable.
How do they shave, Wendy? Ho-wah.
Tuna fish can swim 40 miles in a single day.
Oh. I believe that. They look kind of big and muscular, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Cats, another cat fact here. Cats can hear ultrasound.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Here's a turkey fact. Turkeys have a poor sense of smell, but an excellent sense of taste. Yeah, so they would say, you know, I like grapes, or I don't like this or that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Goats do not have teeth in their upper front jaw.
They don't?
Yeah.
Weird.
Goats do not have teeth in their upper front jaw. Baby whales grow to a third of their mother's length in the womb. Wow. That's big.
Yeah, it is.
And elephants don't drink through their trunks like a straw. Like a lot of people think that elephants drink through their, you know, their nose like a straw, but they don't.
That's true.
They might suck
That's
it up.
True.
They might suck it up, but then they spray it in their mouth. That's how I think it works, but I'm not exactly sure. So maybe somebody could look that up. The breeding age for a male goat is between 8 and 10 months. Wow, they get started early.
That's very young.
It is. French poodles did not originate in France. They came from Germany.
Yeah, those Europeans, they all co-mingled back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't it the King and Queen of England? Weren't they really Germans from way back?
I don't know.
To say yes.
Okay, yeah.
The crown.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
When a male tiger and a female lion mate, they have a tigon.
What?
When a male lion and a female tiger mate, they have a liger. Let me repeat that. It's a little confusing. When a male tiger and a female lion mate, they have a tigon. And when a male lion and a female tiger mate, they have a liger.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about that.
I think you're making stuff up now.
I think I am too. The Maynads, the Maynads and Aztecs symbolize every 10th day with the dog, and those born under this sign were believed to have outstanding leadership skills.
Did you mean the Mayans? Was that the Mayans?
Yeah, is it? The Mayan and Aztec symbolized every 10th day with the dog, and those born under this sign were believed to have outstanding leadership skills. Well, I know the Chinese calendar. I was born under the year of the rat. So
I think I'm the ox, the year of the
ox.
I don't know.
Chinese calendar.
Something uncool like the ox. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
The rat's kind of cool.
I think the rat is very cool. Yeah.
Next tattoo, Wendy.
Ratatouille.
You got it.
Right on.
Flamingos are pink. You know why?
Why?
Do you have any idea why flamingos are pink?
Well, some sort of pigment, but because they're albino, I don't know.
Yeah, flamingos are pink because shrimp is one of their main sources of food.
So they eat the shrimp and then it comes out pink on their feathers? Is that what's happening?
Well, according to this fun fact, that's exactly right. Okay. Listen, this is a funny one. Back in 1924, a monkey was convicted in South Bend of the crime of smoking a cigarette and sentenced to pay $25 fine.
What?
Yeah, a monkey in 1924 was convicted in South Bend of the crime of smoking a cigarette and sentenced to pay a $25 fine.
South Bend, Indiana? Is
I don't know. It's
what the
South Bend. I don't know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so we were talking about a vole and a mole at one point. Maybe that's on tomorrow's contract. But a mole can dig a tunnel 300 feet long in just one night.
Whoa.
That's pretty long. Yeah, just one night. That's crazy.
Wow. Give us one more one.
Okay. After eating, a horsefly regurgitates its food and then eats it again. That's gross.
That is so nasty.
Here's one, really quick.
Hurry.
There are almost 60 million dogs in the United States. Please spay and neuter your pet and adopt, do not shop.
Right
yes.
on. Good way to end it. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. Peeny Gigi, Wendy, for the fun facts and all you do for being on the show for the last 7 years. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard.
Well, hello. You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and around the world at KFAI.org, the community's true voice.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.